Open your Bibles here this morning to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, will be verse 26 and following. The title of my message here, The Wonder of It All, The Wonder of It All, this Christmas season. Have you ever been surprised? For Mary, she was very surprised. Look at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Join me in prayer here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing asunder, even the dividing of soul and spirit, God. You know, are a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Father, your word is alive here today, God. And I pray it would work in each heart. And I pray, Lord, that as we look at this passage here before us, your word would speak to us mightily and would help us, Lord, to be better Christians for thee and to understand your plan and your working through the ages past. So, Lord, bless us and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been surprised? I mean, like, really surprised? I remember years ago, I was at a plumbing supply house, and I ran into a plumber. This is when I worked for an HVAC company, and his name was Jeff. And I said, Hi, Jeff. And he said, Hi. We knew each other. And I said, yeah, I heard you had something happen on a job site the other day. And I gave him some of the details, and he just got so mad so quick. Oh, man, he went off right there in that showroom. He just was, like, totally upset. Well, what happened? He was on the job site, and a couple of the other guys that were there working, in HVAC work, when you put slab runs in that go under concrete slabs, you dig a trench and lay this pipe underneath, and then they pour over top of it, and the heat vent comes out. Well, Danny and John were putting heat runs in a slab area, and they dug this trench and were putting their pipes in, and John got an idea. He talked to Danny. Well, what they did, while Jeff went out to the truck to get some supplies, they took Jeff's cord off his right-angle drill. Danny laid in the trench with holding Jeff's cord like this. John covered him with a piece of cardboard and put the stone on top of him. So Jeff comes back in from the truck and went to use his drill and didn't have the cord on. He looks around, and the cord's going to another room. So he just pulls on his cord, but it didn't come. So then he walks all the way over in the room, and Danny's underneath his cardboard holding his cord. Well, Jeff reached over and just gave a mighty jerk to pull his, because he couldn't see Danny under the cardboard and the stone. All of a sudden, Danny just burst up out of there, said, Hi, how you doing? I was stuck down there. Thanks for helping me out. Oh, Jeff just he lost it. I mean, he was scared. Would that be a surprise to you if somebody busted up out of the stone when you pulled an extension cord? Would that surprise you? That would be quite a, well, when I saw him in the showroom at a supply house, and I touched upon that issue, yeah, he was still worked up quite a bit from that surprise. I mean, he was not too happy. You know, the Christmas story here for Mary, was this a surprise for her? She wasn't expecting this at all. Well, let's look at our passage here, and I like to think about this through her eyes here, the wonder of it all. You know, verse 26 says, In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Now, just stop there for a minute. Well, you know, you can read this so fast and not even think about what you're... Why the sixth month? Why is there 6 months here? Well, that was when Elizabeth was... she conceived, and she was in the sixth month of their pregnancy. Does God have everything in control? He does. His timing is perfect, because at the end of this passage here, because the angel said to her in verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age and 6 months with her. You know, God's working is perfect. In the fullness of time, God sent his son. And God's got it all in control. 6 months, the angel Gabriel. Now, I've never met an angel. Anybody met an angel before? You may think your wife's an angel, but that's not quite a real angel, okay? I heard that, Mary. Gabriel. Do you know what Gabriel told earlier here to Zechariah when Zechariah didn't believe what he said? I stand in the presence of God. You think about that for a minute. This angel stood in the presence of God. You know, if we stood in the presence of God, you know what would happen to us? We'd be consumed. You couldn't be in the presence of God. You'd be done. You know, Isaiah saw, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. I mean, he was far away, and yet he goes, woe is me. I'm a man undone. You know, God is an amazing God, the wonder of it all. He sent Gabriel, who stood in the presence of God, sent from God, unto the city of Galilee. Where's Galilee at? That's north. If you want to understand Galilee to Jerusalem, the people who lived in Galilee were like the hillbillies, okay? Try to put it in a way maybe you can understand. They're like the hillbillies, okay? They're like the people in West Virginia that, you know, I won't go there, but anyway, that's the idea, okay? When it says from Galilee, that wasn't the outstanding high society people. They were actually looked down upon. You know why? Because they bumped up against Gentiles. They bumped up against people that were unclean. But you know, this verse is deep because Abram was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin and spouse to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. You know, sometimes in Scripture, when I preach through a passage, I give you what the passage says right there, but I want to take just a moment here and just take a little rabbit trail. I just want to talk about the sanctity of marriage here for a moment. Because in our society and in our culture, there's a lot of young people that are not virgins because they've lost their purity. And marriage is a holy institution ordained by God. And for Mary here, when we get to the end of the story here, when she says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord be it unto me, do you know what she was saying? You know the implications of her submitting to God, what that was saying? Because for her, if she's going to have a child, what would Joseph think? Yeah, that was huge. But did God have a plan? This angel was sent from God. Did God have a plan? He does. And the institution of marriage is huge. And we've lost a lot in our culture today. One man for one woman for one lifetime. That's a marriage. That's it. And for a marriage, for Mary and Joseph here, what God was working, God had a purpose. We'll get into all the theology and all this here in a moment. But for Mary, this was a huge thing for her. And does God take notice of people? Now, this is just a young girl going about her day, just living her life. You know, in Galilee, can any good thing come out of Galilee? Does God take notice of a little young girl? Absolutely. God looks down from heaven. His eyes search to and fro over the earth, seeing whose heart is right with him. None of us escape the eyes of God. None of us. He sees it all. And he has eyes on Mary. Verse 28, and the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. The angel said a lot to her. Highly favored, Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, would you be surprised? You're just going about, she may have just been straightening the table up, making a bed, sweeping the floor, and all of a sudden, poof, there's an angel. And then he says all these things to you. Verse 29, is that an understatement? When she saw him, she was troubled. You think that's an understatement? Can you get underneath that word troubled, how she may have felt inside? I don't know what people are going to do one day when they meet God. This is just an angel. God made angels. But you know, one day each of us is going to stand before God and give account of ourselves for the good that we've done, the evil that we've done. This is an angel and put fear in our heart. What are you going to do when you stand before God and God looks at you? Well, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind, thought about what manner of greeting or salutation this should be. What is he talking about? The angel said unto her, fear not, tried to calm her down, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Do you want favor with God? And when you read those words, Mary found favor with God. In other words, she was living a life that pleased God. She was living a life, she was just going about her life, but what she did know. Now, how spiritual was, what level was she on? We won't get into this today, I don't think. Verse 46, and Mary says, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. You know, you read through this, you can pull out all kinds of Old Testament from Hannah and when in 1 Samuel and the Psalms and all this. She wove through this thing. Did she know the Old Testament? You read through there and you can see all this she wove into this thing. Did she know God? She knew God. She knew the Scriptures. And when she just burst into praise to God and worship God, if you read through that, you can just see, oh, she quoted from here, and she quoted from there, and she quoted from here, and she got it from over here. And you can just see how God's Spirit was just moving in her life. She had favor with God. You know why? Because she was in tune to God, and she knew God's Word. And she had a prayer life and a worship life. She found favor. And the angel gives her some more information here. Verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Yeshua, salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Do you have to believe in the virgin birth to be saved? Think about that for a minute. Now, a couple of ways I'm going to touch on this just for a minute. How many times does the Bible say she was a virgin? Well, let's look at the different ways that was said. First of all, Gabriel sent from God, okay? God sent Gabriel to a virgin. So God is the first one acknowledging she was a virgin. And then in verse 27... to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Joseph thought she was a pure woman. To the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Twice in the verse 27, she had never known a man. The angel came unto her, and as they dialogued, and Mary said, well, how can this thing be? I don't know a man. Mary said that she was pure. The angel affirmed that she was pure because he gave her the answer, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. The angel thought that. Who wrote Luke? Luke did. It's not a trick question, okay? Hang with me here. Luke wrote it. So I don't think Luke's a liar. So he affirmed. And in John chapter 14, who gives us the Scriptures? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit bears witness. You know, you can't get away from the doctrine of the virgin birth, okay? It's there. And all these different people affirm. Now, the thing about Scripture is we got the Old Testament and New Testament. It's a testament. If you go to court, you have to raise your right hand, unless you're in the Democratic Party and you don't have to swear by God anymore, okay? But for normal people in our society, you raise your right hand, you swear to God, that you tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so what? Help you God, okay? And you know what you're saying if you don't believe in the virgin birth? You're saying Luke's a liar. You're saying Mary's a liar. You're saying God's a liar. You're saying Gabriel's a liar. You're saying the Holy Spirit's a liar. Because all of them said that she was a virgin. Do you see where you're going? If you say that that's not true, then you're saying they're lying. Their testimony is not true. That's pretty shaky ground to be on. I wouldn't want to go there. Because guess what? If they're found to be true, then you're found to be what if you don't believe it? A liar. You're the ones lying, not them. And all liars shall have their part in what? The lake of fire. Now, theologically, Why does this have to be this way? Why does she have to be a virgin? He was going to be called the Son of who? The Son of God. And verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Most High. That's the Son of God. The first Adam let sin into the world. Who's the second Adam? Jesus Christ. First Adam let sin in the world. The last Adam dealt with sin in the world and took our sins away. If Jesus had an earthly father, he would have had a sin nature. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this. There's some denominations that teach that Mary was born without original sin. You ever heard of that? You know what I'm talking about? Immaculate conception? Mary didn't have... Okay. Sin entered the world and death by sin. If Mary never had original sin, what would that imply? She would never what? Die. Do you realize that? But she what? She died. And not only that she died, but in verse 47, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my what? Savior. She knew she was a sinner. Jesus Christ was born in this world of a virgin. He was a Son of God. He had no sin nature like you and I have. Now, where does our sin nature take us? It makes men and women commit adultery. It makes them lie and cheat and steal. It makes them deceive and be liars. It makes them think they're safe when they're unsafe in their sin. That's what sin does to you. That's our sin nature. Sin takes you where you don't want to go. It makes you pay a price you don't want to pay. And it keeps you longer than you want to stay. That's what sin does to you. It's gotcha. And there's no hope except from Jesus Christ. There are some unbelievers and skeptics. I read this one time. One man said, you know where Jesus came from? He was Mary's relationship with some Roman soldier. That's what some skeptics say. That's just a lie out of the pit of hell. Okay, that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. If Mary had gone down that road, because Mary and Joseph, in the eyes of God, were married. They were espoused. In other words, the ceremony was done. They were husband and wife, but they had not lived together and consummated the marriage. During this time, Joseph was supposed to go make a house for Mary. Joseph's father would say to Joseph, when the house was done, go get your bride. Your house is ready. You can take her home. The bride never knew when he was coming. Only the father knew when the son could go get the wife. If Mary had done like this skeptic said, she would be called an adulteress. The Ten Commandments says, if you commit adultery, thou shalt not what? Commit adultery. That is a sin. We know Mary is pure because you know why? God said, thou art highly what? Favored. He knew Mary's heart. She was pure. She was righteous with God. She loved God. Well, let's talk about Jesus here for a minute. Verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Somebody once said, that's a biological impossibility. And you know what you say? Absolutely. It is an impossibility. That's why it's called a miracle. Okay? And a miracle is an irregularity. Okay, it's not regular, okay? And it's a miracle. But how does God feel about miracles? Well, look at verse 37. This is what God thinks about miracles. For with God, nothing shall be what? Impossible. That's God. I mean, he spoke the world into being. Nothing from nothing is nothing. God spoke it all into me, just spoke the word and it was done. And God can do anything. Where did the first woman come from? Out of a man's side. Is that a miracle? Absolutely. Can God do that? Absolutely. He can do anything. God is a great God. Let's talk about Jesus here for a minute. He shall be great. He shall call his name Savior. He shall be great. Do you think when Jesus stood outside the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth, is that greatness to be able to do that? Is that greatness to be able to walk on the waters and feed the 5,000 and a man that has never walked before, you just pull him up by his arm and he walks, and a man that's never seen before and you just touch his eyes and he can see. Is that being great? Can God do that? Absolutely he can do that. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Most High. You don't get any higher than the Most High, because that is the Most High, the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. Why did they put Jesus on the cross? Because he did miracles they couldn't do? Why did he die on the cross? He said, I'm the Son of God. And they said, that's blasphemy. You can't be. But he was. That's why they put him on the cross. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Do the Jews have a right to be in the land of Israel? Absolutely. Who has the title deed to the real estate of this world? God does. If he says to Jacob and his descendants, this is your land, they can live there because God gave it to them. And one day Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. His feet are going to touch the Mount of Olives. They're going to split. And he's going to rule and reign. Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. That doesn't sound like an earthly man to me. A lot of kingdoms have come and gone, but his is forever. And of his kingdom there should be, in case you missed it, there should be no end. That's deity there. Humanity and deity, all in one. Somebody said it like this. Mary was the envelope. Jesus was God's love letter to the world. She was the envelope that brought the Christ child into the world. Well, Mary, she had this question, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, the angel answered, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy child which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, you're Mary. Would you be surprised? Would your mind be racing at this point? Would you be trying to like process this? Like, how can this be? And you know what? God is so good at this point. You know, I don't know if you ever play chess or familiar with, you know, you move this piece and you have this, you build your defense or your offense, just all these pieces you move in sequence to get where to capture your opponent's king. God is moving pieces in eternity past in ways we cannot even see. And so he had John the Baptist to be conceived at the right time. So when this event happened here, the angel said, hey, Mary, I just want to bring your attention. You know your cousin Elizabeth? It was called barren. Oh, yeah, I know. They couldn't have children. She's with child. Really? She's with child? What would that do for Mary hearing you're going to have a child? All of a sudden, her faith just went, whew. God, you can do anything. If Elizabeth can have a child, God, you can do anything. You know what Mary's response in verse 38 is so deep. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. How do you know if you're a true believer? You know, there's some people that are goats. Now, what do I mean by a goat? You got sheep and goats. Wolves, you know what I'm talking about? Jesus said wolves in sheep's clothing. They look good on the outside, but inside they're ravening wolves. You know what I'm saying? They're hypocrites. People say one thing and they do something else. You know, one day God's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Just like that. And people can put on a good front. And people can sit in church and sing their hymns and whatever. But God's just like Mary, in a little town of Nazareth that nobody thinks he's watching. And he had his eye on her. And you know, for us, wherever we go, whatever we do, God sees what we're doing. And you know, Mary, you know how we know she knew God on a deep level? The first thing she said was, God, I'm going to do this thing. Your will. What did Jesus say in the garden? Not my will, but what? Thy will be done. You know how you know if you really want a God's? You're going to be willing to do his will. Now, we might fail and stumble, but it's momentary. If you have a lifestyle of living that you don't live for God, I'd be concerned where you're going to spend eternity at. If you don't have a heart for the things of God. When God said it, you're not on it. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. We have our old sin nature. The Apostle Paul said, the will that I will do, I do not. But it's not a habit, and it's not a lifestyle. And you change. And for Mary, as soon as God said, this is my plan, she says, I'm on it, Lord. I'm all over it. I want to do this thing, God. Because you know why, God? Because on a deep level, she loved him. And you know how when you really love somebody, you want to what? Please them. If you really love somebody, you're going to please them and do what makes them happy. And if we know God, we're going to do what God tells us to do. And then in verse 38, and the angel departed from her. That's where the rubber meets the road. Because all of a sudden, this wonderful event, the angel's gone, and Mary's sitting there by herself now. And she may have thought, how is this going to work out? The just shall live by faith. And if God said it, now, we know the story. Did God work in Joseph's life? He did. He worked this out for Mary. And see, that's what we do as believers. We trust God. We know he's going to work it out. We don't understand, but by obedience, I'm going to obey your word. You know, this Christmas story, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ come in the world. God had a plan. And he dealt with sin, a Savior he gave to the world. The sin bearer of the world, Jesus Christ. He shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And God wants to save us from our sins. You know, this Christmas story, people can hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, but unless it goes into your life and your heart and you take it to heart. I want to close with this. Ray Comfort, remember we saw some of his videos, Ray Comfort's videos? I watched one yesterday, and he just told a little story. You know how he has a microphone, goes around and talks to people? You know, he does these interviews. And this guy was sitting on a concrete bench, and he just interviewed him, talking about Christ. And this guy was an atheist, unbeliever. And Ray Comfort said, sir, if you were to die today, where would you go? He said, I don't care. He goes, if I just die, I die. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Well, he never responded. Ray Comfort the next day picked up a newspaper, and he had his name. And it was Jordan something, I can't remember. On the headline on the paper, Jordan, whatever his last name, hit on his bicycle, died instantly. And Ray Comfort thought, I just witnessed that man. You know, God gives us a point in time to get saved. And if we don't respond, you don't know when you'll have your next breath taken away from you. And for Mary, she was all over it. When God said it, she was there. And you know, if God's speaking to your heart, you need to repent now. Because there's a deadline that God gives to all of us. And that deadline is that one time God will speak to us. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to what? Repentance. He wants us to get saved. But there's a line in the sand only God knows. And when we step over it, it's just like that man. He went out in eternity. And Ray Comfort said, I just witnessed this guy. And he's reading about him in the newspaper the next day. You know what Mary did? Behold the handmaid. Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do your will. Don't play with eternity. Because if you play with eternity, you might end up losing your very soul. Well, let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word and the Christmas story. And I thank you for Mary and how she was so tender to you, God. and how she was quick to hear, and how you used this vessel to bring the Christ child into the world. And Lord, how the angel said, blessed are you among women, not above women, but among women. Thank you for the example of Mary being a pure woman, God, a woman of high moral values. Lord, there's so many in our culture today that are unfaithful to their spouses, unfaithful to each other. Lord, I thank you for the example of Mary being a pure woman. And Lord, I pray that each of us would realize that we need a Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, the just for the unjust, to keep us out of hell in the lake of fire. And Father, the sobering words we read in Scripture, depart from ye, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Father, so many can hear the Word of God and know the Scriptures and yet not know the God of the Word, or never repent it, never hate sin. They love it. They enjoy it. And I pray, Lord, as Mary brought the Christ child into the world, as Jesus died for our sins, that we would be true repenters and believe you this Christmas season. And Lord, all of us know those that are unsaved, and our family and our friends, people we know that don't know you. God, this Christmas season, may we do what we can do to bring them to Christ. Lord, help us not to be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Lord, help us as we live our Christian life to be like Mary, to be quick to obey and to please you and to know your ways, because you have a plan, God. And I thank you, Lord, for what you've given to us here this day, and thank you for this story. In the quietness of this moment, if there's any here that's might during this Christmas season, you've got someone on your heart that you want to pray for, someone that you know that is unsaved, lost, and needs Christ. Would you say, Pastor, pray for me that I could be a witness and I could speak the truth of the gospel to that person? Anybody? But you're a little hesitant, a little shy, a little afraid of family. And I know it's tough, but you want encouragement and strength from God. But you say, just raise your hand this morning and say, Pastor, pray for me. I see that hand. Any others, say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be a witness. Lord, maybe there's others here that have grown up around church and know the Bible, but Lord, they're living a lifestyle that you condemn, God. They're not true in their hearts to the Word of God. They're not true to their own teaching they've received. God says to you, repent and turn to me, and you'll find forgiveness. Anybody here today would say, pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. If I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. Anybody would say that here this morning? Lord, you know the hearts of all, and God, I know that you're search the hearts. So, Father, I pray that during this simple invitation, God, you give sinners a chance to know you. So, Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy to each of us. Thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you, Lord, for the wonder of it all. God, how Emmanuel, God, with us. Lord, thank you for this Christmas season. We can rejoice in our great God and all that he's done for us. Thank you for giving us the gift of your Son. And Lord, we are thankful people. So Lord, bless us and encourage us and keep us close to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.